Welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia. It's episode 150. Quite a biggin. That's why I've got three people on the couch tonight. Let's starting from the far end, we've got Elliot Pittman, we've got Anthony Kopskis, and we've got Jared Pickering. Gents, welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, hello. It's good to be here.
Good to be back.
It is nice to have you back. And we are officially the only podcast that is allowed to call live ball timeouts as well. Just in case you were wondering, bit of rule clarification before we really kick off. But
that was so bad.
It wasn't great.
Especially the guy played in the NBA. And even in that situation, you would have called the timeout when you caught the rebound, not when you took two dribbles.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think he said, you know, was on a, you know, call to Chris Webber ahead of time and was just, here, hold my drink bottle.
Let me one-up your run. See Modi Mayo, as soon as he started doing it, he just put his hand.
Yeah, well, that's that game done.
He still had like 3 seconds to go.
Yeah, not great. But tonight we will also have Ash Proud joining us from the under-18 state championship winning Brisbane Capitals. Well, back-to-back.
Yeah, back-to-back. Big time.
Ash Proud doing it as the head coach this year. Speaking of which, let's call a timeout and let's get him on the phone right now.
That ball don't lie.
Never does.
All right, ball don't lie listeners. We have state winning coach for the under-18 Capitals Division 1 team. Fresh off the win over the weekend, Ash Proud, welcome.
Thank you. I'm coming to you from the mean streets of Albany Creek. So,
pretty mean.
No, thank you. It was a great effort from the boys.
It really was, mate. Before we get started around that, can you give us a quick shout out for those, you know, assistant coaches, managers? Who were some of the people behind the scenes that really helped along the whole journey?
Yeah, so we had the background is about 4 years ago, my wife got sick of seeing me in the house so much and she said, get back into basketball and do basketball because I hadn't done it for about 15 years or so. And I did it with Pat McInerney for the last 3 years and we obviously had some success last year. And then this year with his new job at Basketball Queensland, he sort of couldn't do the job. So Capitals asked me, would I do it? I sort of, yeah, okay, cool. But I wanted to do it with people that I wanted around me, you know, like sort of things. So I invited one of my best mates, Doug Daly. I don't know, Jared. No, it was a bit after your time, I think, or before your time. He came along. He was my assistant. It's quite funny because we are friends, but we have robust discussions and disagreements on things. But his insights were invaluable. And then they were talking. Murray Aldred was talking about how there's a couple of guys who wanted to be involved, and one of it was a bloke by the name of Jordan, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, Gealish or Grealish, who I didn't know from a bar of soap. You know, sort of thing. And I just said, I literally had never met the dude in my life. And I said, I'm happy to have a chat with him, but I'm not going to have any people involved who are dickheads, you know, sort of thing. So I said,
mate. He still made the cut. Okay.
And he still made the cut. So he come and had a chat. I said to him, mate, well, I'll be at my son's AFL training at this time at Brendale Sports Complex. If you want to come have a chat. And yeah, to his credit, he come down for a chat. And just sort of thought, oh, yeah, cool. We'll see how this guy goes. He seemed like a pretty good bloke. And his insights were quite valuable. We did some stuff where we track part of our team values. I don't know if we really want to get into this stuff, but each kid has four behaviors and values that they need to demonstrate, and it's about giving kids feedback on certain things. So he was a big part of that, and he was also a part of our team goals for each quarter, whereas like we would try to get like, you know, a certain amount of 2 feet in the key each quarter, a certain amount of ball reversals, a certain amount of kick aheads. And I got this trick from AFL, whereas at quarter time you go out with the coaching board and you have a big board and tell the players, oh, we've done this many times inside 50, this many time contested possessions, this many sort of stuff. So last year I was thinking about how can we incorporate that into basketball, and was it worth it? So we sort of experimented with a couple of different ways, and it was his little baby sort of thing, and he did a really good job with it, and it was really good because in the games we could, at you know, half a quarter times and whatever, actually see, well, hey, we want to have, I think it was 7 kick aheads a quarter, and in this quarter we only got 4. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Something, and that's why we stopped scoring in transition. So that was his baby, and without the sort of the stuff that he provided, I don't think we would have had the success we would have had. And then we had the super manager, Cal and Tom, I always pronounce the surname wrong, G-House, who've been doing it for the last couple of years. Emerson's mum and dad, like, just so easy. Everything's just organized, on time, efficient. And again, I think all the parents and the players were so appreciative of their efforts as well.
Awesome. Well, speaking of half times, you had that do or die game at the end of the pool rounds against Spartans. Yeah. And
that one that everybody loves betting Southern Districts in. Well, why didn't say that?
That's all right. You can say it. Everyone does. and you guys, I was there for that game, and it felt like you guys were down by about 15 going into half. And you just had that amazing turnaround. It ended up being almost a 30-point turnaround in the end. But what exactly did you get into at halftime to spark the comeback?
Again, we looked at the board, to be honest. We looked at the board, and as a group, we knew that we weren't tracking the way offensively and defensively we wanted to track. Do you know what I mean? And we talked about, and this was a Doug quote to me in the coaches when we were talking, it's about hitting singles, not hitting home runs. So we literally just wanted to work one possession at a time. One possession to stop, one possession to score, one possession to stop. And obviously there were little runs where they scored and we scored, but trying to hit a whole bunch of singles rather than trying to hit homers. We were okay. Like, we felt okay because we got off to a good start. So we've played them twice in Premier League without our full team. We lost both times. We didn't have Matty, Amo, who was obviously one of our key guys. And we played them twice, and we felt that we matched up against them reasonably well. They gave us some problems, you know what I mean? But we always felt confident going in. And we didn't feel too, well, we were stressed at halftime, but we were feeling okay. And then when that sort of run came on in the third quarter, and it just like started flowing, and we started just taking them out of their actions that they wanted to be taken out of, and they really didn't take us out of the stuff that we wanted to be taken. Does that make sense? Like, we got what we wanted and they didn't get what they wanted, sort of thing. And we always felt too, so we had these, I have a whole bunch of million sayings, and one of them was our three pillars. So our three pillars were like, in every game we want to be relentless, we want to be persistent, and we want to communicate. And if at the end of each game as a group, we gave ourselves ticks, and the correlations between getting 3 out of 3 of them equals winning, 2 out of 3 means maybe winning, and 1 out of 3 means losing, you know, sort of thing. So the games we've lost in the year, we haven't done those things well. In that game, everyone was 3 out of 3 for those things. So we just kept communicating with each other, sort of thing. So positively and some negative, but when people, I mean, but generally keeping everybody up and about.
Yep, nice. And obviously in the semi-final you had Mr. Amo. I loaded up for those 45 points.
You know,
loved the videos and different things and his reactions and all that kind of stuff. But is there anyone, you know, Amo, or is there any other names that you think we might hear in that NBL1 space in over the next couple of years?
Obviously. Yeah, for Caps. No, and I think that's an important bit. And I've been talking to Bruce and all those guys are, Bill Ellis, all those guys, just making sure we need to keep those kids sort of coming through the pathway, you know, sort of thing. And we had Ant and Tim train with us a handful of times during, and then we scrimmaged before we went away too. So I think I've got some that were important, but like we brought back four guys from last year's group. We brought back Maddie, Daniel Graham, Jacob Austin, and Emerson, which helped. Then we had a couple of three bottom ages to start, and then we brought in another bottom ager when our big fella Toby had the most sickening injury I've ever seen in my life, where his arm almost went through a compound fracture through his arm. And so that was just disgusting. But I think, Maddie, everyone loves Maddie. Do you know what I mean? Like he plays hard and stuff like that as well. But our leaders, those four leaders in particular, were getting the job done. And then everybody else around them were supportive them. And they just played, those four helped us play with confidence and poise, do you know? And then that made everyone else feel comfortable, sort of thing. And they bought into that whole being relentless type model, you know, and if they're doing it, well, everyone else has to buy in, don't they, you know, sort of thing. So but yeah.
Now obviously the state south team came out today, and obviously there's some good news, and like with these things there's always some bad news, but congratulations to the boys who did get the nod.
Yeah, so we were lucky enough to get Dan and Maddie, which we were pumped for them, do you know, like sort of thing. We have some disappointed boys as well. My advice, obviously I've been playing amateur psychologist a little bit on the phone over today, and my messaging is the same. It's like we love you. It's okay to be disappointed. But you've now got to, you know, it's just don't let it define you as a person. And we congratulate those boys who made the 11-man team from Queensland South. And we wish them the best. But obviously, we got some disappointed boys, and now it's about their next challenge and how they move on from that challenge. You can either let it define them, or they can use it as motivation and try to prove some people wrong and kick ass, basically.
Yep. No, that's more than fair. All right, and then of course in the state championship game, went up against Red City Roar. Now I was actually on the commentary team for that one, and I had a couple of memorable things that I took away. That Winx three ball going into, I believe it was three quarter time.
Yeah, it was big. I don't know if it was actually just quietly. I think it was after the time. But anyway, that's another discussion altogether. But
I remember there was at least seconds left. Especially with it being straight after, I think it was Cooper at the other end. You know,
yeah.
And it just silenced them a little bit going into three-quarter time. There was young Mr. Cooks with the multiple blocks or deflection blocks. And then, of course, Austin driving into that mid-range and knocking them down. What were some of the takeaway moments that really stand out for you now looking back on it a couple of days later?
So we knew we had to do a really good job defensively against their big Tyrell, their big 6'7", 6'8" kid. And that was a big challenge for Harry. So Harry's a bottom major. His development growth isn't like he's great. He's not growing at a diagonal line, you know, pace. He's developing at like a vertical line pace at the moment. He had, you know, he played Tyrell quite well in the rounds at Premier League. When we lost to him once by two, and we beat him by 15. The time we beat him by 15, he did a really good job on him, and I think that gave him a lot of confidence. So we were really dialed in on him. We were dialed in on Raj, their big 6'6" bouncy kid, who gave us a little bit of a handful. I thought when we watched the tape back after the game, we went away from it. When he was successful was when we went away from our defensive rules. When we played our defensive rules, it was a little bit harder for him, you know, sort of thing. So we knew we had to take him away. And the kid from there who played really well was Ace Harding's boy. I'm not sure of his first name. He'd come off their bench, and he did a great job for them, stroking it. And I was like, geez, we're going to have to do something here, you know, something. But the boys sort of took him out of his rhythm a little bit. But from our point of view, I thought Emerson was pretty big. Obviously got the MVP of the game. I think hit some really big shots in that fourth to sort of – I think he went back-to-back – he went driving, layup, and back-to-back threes. and just hit them when we needed to hit them, you know, like something. And took a lot of courage to take those. Like we talked about him like playing without fear, and he plays without fear, and that's one of the things I love about Emerson, and I love about all of our group. We all played without fear. Jacob Austin was typical. Jacob Austin, mid range defend. Like he'll stand in front of anybody. He's this sort of 5 foot something midget who can dunk two hands, and he'll just literally fearless. He'll stand. He'll take charges. His body is a mess. Like he in the Gold Coast game, he took a charge, smacked open some sore on the back of his back. It was bleeding. We had to try to maybe not let the refs know it was bleeding. We talked about how his jersey got ripped, so that's why we subbed him out. We had to do the number change. They're like, "Oh, what happened?" Oh, Jacob's like, "Oh, just ripped at the front," you know, like sort of thing. He's a warrior, and I look forward. I think he's got some juice. I think he's looking forward to sort of now. Obviously, he didn't make the state team. He's looking forward to going up against guys, veteran heads like Ant, and trying to chase them around at trainings and stuff like that for a while and learning from them.
Ant's still a young fella, mate. Come on.
That's one word for it.
It's comparative. Comparative young fella.
But and we just had some runs in that fourth quarter, and we played harder. Like our goal was to play hard and play together. And there's some stuff Maddie did where just connective stuff, like not necessarily scoring and not necessarily making the pass to make the score, but the pass before the assist, you know, making the right basketball plays at the right time. And it was beautiful, you know, sort of thing. And we did that pretty much after we lost the Rocky game, like in the rounds that from that point on, we just played the right way, you know, sort of thing.
All right. One final question. This one specifically for Jared. Out of Ant and Jared, who are on the couch here in the shed tonight, which one of them did you coach?
I did have the honor of coaching Jared at when he was, I think it was under 16s. Yeah, it was under 16s.
I think it was, yep.
It was in Townsville when we won the state title. Yep. You know, like, so we beat Gold Coast, I believe, at under 16s. And Jared was a young 14 going on 15-year-old son. My wife was the team manager. I was recently married and at that period of time. And I was telling a story to the boys when we were away about we stayed at that, I don't know if you remember, we stayed at that boarding school, do you know what I mean, in Townsville.
Oh, yeah.
And we had two cars, you know what I mean, like sort of thing. And so I asked her to be manager. So it was like, so keep, you know, happy wife, happy life. You know what I mean? Like try to keep you so you can go to basketball more. And so two cars, and I got back in the first car and we were back like in about 10, 15 minutes later to something. Where's the second car? Well, mate, Colette's like, my wife's name's Colette. Look, Colette's taking the kids through to Macca's drive-thru on the way home after the game for, you know, ice creams and Slurpees. I'm like, okay, this is how this is going to work this week. So after that, everybody tried to get into her car. But no, young Jared. No, I remember Jared as a young whippersnapper, you know, sort of thing, running around shooting threes and being long, very long. He was a very long young man.
Not athletic, but long.
Gangly.
I did listen to the one talking about his favourite topic himself, and he
I could have been either.
You were talking about when you went to school and played over in America, and it's like, well, yeah, might not have athleticism, but I have some other gifts as well. He's always a smart, cluey guy who used – you got the most out of his potential, and you know, and he's always been a smart prick as well too. So, with his degrees in whatever he has in, so it's always fun to be always the second smartest person when you have a conversation about something.
I didn't know I signed up for backhanded compliments.
Well, I have to, mate. Like, you know, I could tell you some stories, but we'll keep those ones peace.
All right, mate. Well, you mentioned that you were pretty keen to get into some Crack'em.
Well, after watching the, this morning, I thought, I listened on and off to your podcast, and I've always listened. Bill Ellis, I love, because Bill's one of my favourite humans. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was my coach when I was bottom age 16, when I first arrived from Melbourne 30 odd years ago now. So, and I always listened to that one, and yeah, then I thought, I better listen to your most recent one this morning after we organised the chat. And then you're doing this game with the cards, and I'm just like, I'm driving home from work today and going, you know, Michael Johnson, Blair Smith. These are easy answers. So come on, let's bring it.
All right. So the way this is going to work, I've got a 1995 pack of Futura MBL Series 1s. Let's crack them open and get stuck in. So the way this is going to work, it's real simple. It's going to be Ash versus the Ball Don't Lie Australia No Stars of Jared, Ant, and Elliot here on the couch. Look, this is going to be particularly tough for Elliot. It happened. These cards came out 9 years before he was born. Ant was
three at this stage.
And Jared, you were what, 14, 15?
No.
I'm trying to do math.
Remember the chance.
So, look, we'll see how they go. But if you just want to call out Ash, and you guys can call out Ball. That'll work. Nice and simple.
You won't be hearing a lot of that.
I don't know. By the way,
before we start, I love the Grafton stories as well, and from the last podcast. I remember the Grafton Carnival fondly, and it was always lots of fun as well.
Yeah.
It was awesome to hear.
Hey, feel free to come along. We've always got spots at the Pink House.
Can confirm. Just bring your own tent and noise-canceling headphones. All right, let's get stuck in. So the way this works, if you haven't played before or if you're listening at home, I'm going to read the back of the card. Unlike our episode earlier in the week, I'm going to try really hard not to say the last name of the player, and in that place I'm going to say somebody. If we get to the end and I can give clues, if I even know some of these players, I will try do that for you, Ash.
Otherwise, yeah, let's see how we go.
We'll see how we go. But all right. First card from, the Gold Coast Rollers. Athletic forward. Somebody moved to the Gold Coast from the Sydney Kings for season.
Me, Tony D'Ambrosius.
You guys are in trouble.
That's not even a clue. From the Sydney Kings.
It's deductive reasoning. Like, there's the other guy moved from Sydney. I had another answer. I had Mike Mitchell in my head, but as soon as you said move from the, because the Rollers, originally the Rollers were the Cougars, you know what I mean? So I think, so I knew it wasn't that sort of 91, 92, 93. So I knew it was, yeah. But anyway,
that's just Neo in the Matrix. He's seeing ones and zeros.
Well, he's starting to believe. All right.
He was a chump too, by the way. He was awesome.
All right, next card. Coming off the bench for the Tigers, somebody adds an instant impact to the
Melbourne. Stephen Whitehead.
No.
All right. No. All right. All right.
So all the clues now go to.
Oh, no, it's too early.
We could get
the Ball
one.
Don't Lie, No Stars. And when they still don't get it, I'll throw back to you,
Ash.
All right. He can give instant offense as he is not shy about shooting. It's not that guy. Get that guy out of your head.
He came off the bench. Forget
that guy wasn't shy about shooting. Just quietly, right?
About shooting the three-pointer. 1994 saw another element added to the somebody game. Instant crowd involvement. The Tigers' vocal fans always seemed louder when he was on the court. And by the end of the season, he had quite a cult following. Does not have a last name. It's two first names. I'll give you 5 seconds. Five. Four. I'll give you less than 5 seconds. Throw a name. Melbourne Tigers.
I'm pretty sure, and it's going to be pretty embarrassing because I'm saying pretty arrogant. Is it Ray Gordon?
It is Ray Gordon, yes.
I have no idea.
So Ray Gordon originally played at he was a Tigers junior. Who didn't get picked up to play for the Tigers senior team, and he ended up at Coburg around 87, and then they turned into North Melbourne Giants, which was Bruce Palmer was coaching. So him and Bruce were like just fiery guys. They're both like just these fiery personalities. And then I think Bruce gave him the flick, and then he ended up back at Melbourne after that.
Yeah, it looks like you and I, Ash, the only ones who knew that. The blank faces on the couch. But all right, card number three. Shooting guard somebody moved right up the bench with the Rollers in 1994, lifting his playing time from 12 to 19 minutes a game and his point production from 3 to 7. The impressive part about somebody's season was his 44% rate from three-point territory, giving the Gold Coast another long-range option behind Peter Hill.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It was
nine for the Rollers.
Oh, does it start with a P?
Last name does indeed. Yes.
That was the wrong thing I was thinking of. Oh, this is sad. I thought it was Harvey, but no, he was more of a point. Oh, Legasic, Hill.
Last name is a fancy type of bird.
Fancy type of bird. Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, this is now I've talked myself up, mate.
Can we buzz?
Yeah, careful. Yeah.
Ball, Peacock.
Oh,
Peacock, Dougie Peacock. Oh, yeah.
We got the first name, but we got the one.
He wasn't even because
there were a whole bunch of wings. You had like Peacock, Hill, Legasic, all these Gold Coast people. You know what I mean? Like sort of thing.
Deductive reasoning.
All right. Does he have his height? It was on the card, or did it have heights and weights?
Yes, it did. He was 92 kegs at this point.
I was going to say about 195, 194.
198. 198. Mm. But that was before they stepped in and did proper measurements. So.
Yeah, very safe. I thought they were.
All right. You guys on the couch are in trouble with this one.
We've got
three.
One on the board. We're retiring. No duties here, mate.
300 game club member, an NBL legend. Change the game. Not really. Somebody is still going strong, although rumors of retirement were heard at the end of the 94 season. Somebody put these to rest by suiting up with the Illawarra Hawks once again in 1995. Number four for the Illawarra Hawks.
Sign me, Chuck Harmison.
Chuck Harmison, it is indeed.
Damn it, I just didn't guess.
It's on the tip of your tongue, wasn't it, mate? It's on the tip of your tongue.
So he was American who originally came out in the late 70s. He played at the Nutterwadding Spectres in Melbourne, which was a bit of the mafia down there, you know, sort of thing. And then, yeah, moved around a little bit, ended up in Illawarra. He used to wear a head, like a bandana around his head, which, yeah, he was an NBL commissioner for a while as well.
Wow.
Silver Fox.
Yep.
As well. All right. This one is, it's a special card, actually. Instant Impact. I actually have this card, but for DMAC. So now I've got two of them. It's not D-Mac.
Not D-Mac.
All right, Sixer. Somebody, Rookie of the Year Award in 1993, signaled he would have an impact in the Mitsubishi Challenge.
Brenner.
Okay, you're both back in.
John Riley, Blakemore.
You're now out for a moment there now, Ash. I'll go over all the clues for the people on the couch. How immediate that impact would be was realized at the beginning of 1994 when Hero provided Adelaide with a third strong forward alongside Robert Rose and Mark Davis. At season's end, somebody was named the league's most improved player.
Your hometown, Jared.
I was not old enough to comprehend number what was going on.
Double zero. Yep.
Yeah. Can I come?
Yeah, go for it.
Blakemore.
Chris Blakemore, indeed. They had
so the story with Chris Blakemore. The story goes that when that the year before he debuted, he signed with the Sixers, but he was still under 20s, and he played for South Australia in the final, and he rolled his ankle in the final, and he it just puffed apparently. So he taped his ankle up, and then thought it was a good idea to tape his boot up to his ankle to try to give him more support. So he was playing, he played like the national final on one leg with the biggest egg of all time. But he also, when Mike Dunlap came in with the youth movement at Adelaide, which is around this time, he got himself in trouble in the semi-final game where he took somebody out and like just physical, you know, sort of thing. He was a bit of a hard man.
Yeah, definitely looks like it from the card.
Strapping
yeah, I think he's actually. There's a podcast called Aussie Hoopla, which is all about old school NBL, and he was on that just recently, actually. I would say recently, within the last 6 months or so, and he's a prison guard now. That was no surprise.
No, not at all. All right, next card, another special. It's an NBL Clutchman card.
Exciting. All right,
Illawarra Hawks. Smart guard somebody quarterbacked the Illawarra Hawks again in 1994. It combined with fellow import Melvin Thomas and a supporting cast of unsung Australians to win many games considered to be too difficult for the Hawks. In each of those, the ball was in somebody's hands to set up the last shot.
I'm going to say Charles Thomas here, but I think I'm wrong.
You are indeed. Boys, want to have a crack at it? Number 11 for the Hawks.
Doug Overton. No, that's wrong. Nope.
It's on the commentary at the moment. Is it him?
No. I was thinking it was Lowry too. I had Lowry. Yeah. But I was thinking they won it in night. Like they won it. Number 11. Is he Australian or American?
American.
Charles Thomas. Doug Overton, Lafleur, Andre Lafleur? No.
Nope.
Got any hints, Mel?
This guy's pretty butch.
Oh, Butch Hayes. Jeez, that was easy when I think of it.
Yeah, Butch Hayes it was. Okay, this.
He had the longest socks, hey? He used to pull his socks up to his knees.
To be fair, there was a lot of people doing that back in the day.
No, but his was really long. He was this skinny. He originally came out and played for Adelaide first. He played for Newcastle. Illawarra. He played for the Hunter Pirates when the Canberra folded. They put it back in Newcastle, and he played for them as well there. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. They even had Hunter Pirates TV that was just
That awful. Was pretty revolutionary at the time, you know, sort of thing. But
you know, they did everything they could to survive, and then what, a season and a half?
Look, I think I think it wasn't the Canberra license, it was the Singapore Slingers license which fell through, and they took that one over. And I think there were some promises made to certain guys. Actually, I did know a few guys who were with them, and let's just say those promises weren't fulfilled.
Often the case, unfortunately.
Yeah. They didn't have a terrible team either.
No, they didn't. They had some talent. They had a guy called Gordy Cullen, who was this sort of bouncy 6'8" guy who was just off the bench. I think he played. They were sort of stuck in. They wanted to have success. They didn't want to build, sort of thing. So they tried to reinvent with a few guys. I know Bruce was there for a while. Bruce Palmer was there, but I think he walked. I think it was lack of. I'm not sure about it, actually. I don't know why, but I know he walked. But yeah, they were okay. But it was sort of like the Newcastle Falcons in Newcastle were inbred into the community, and the league kicked a whole bunch of teams out. They kicked out Newcastle, Canberra, Geelong, all within like 2 years, about 3 years of each other, try to make a league smaller. It was hard for the community to get back to supporting the Hunter Pirates sort of thing because it was a different model and stuff.
It was indeed. All right, last card. Now, boys, this is doable.
All right.
This is probably the most doable card.
But it means
it'll be like Andrew Gaze or Leroy Lovett.
For the Melbourne Tigers.
Andrew Gaze.
Yeah, I was going to say. Or Leonard Copeland.
Okay, you're both back in.
Oh.
Okay.
somebody. The big and athletic Melbourne rebounder.
That's Dave Simmons.
It's a Bradkey.
Yeah! Yes! We got two.
The hairy-chested Bradkey who knocked about with those, was it two knee guards, which were just like wetsuit material. They never really
did anything. For a long time.
So, you know, when you were talking the other one about when Blair Smith's numbers went up, like and then, I'm talking about the previous episode, yeah. You had the card about Blair Smith. That was because Bradkey decided he was going to follow his wife around. Her name was Nicole. Well, Nicole Bradkey of the original.
She was on the
Nicole,
tennis circuit.
The tennis tour. So he just basically gave him, apparently walked into practice and said, oh, by the way, I'm out for like 6 months. And they just went, oh, okay. Do you know, sort of thing. Yeah. So when he left Adelaide, so he was an Adelaide junior and his final game for Adelaide, he had like 46 and 23 boards and sort of stuff. And then the first game back when he went back to Adelaide from playing for Melbourne, they booed him. Yeah, let's just say that was a mistake. Yeah, you know, so, so he was a monster, mate. He played here for the Bullets the year they won, with the last year they won when they went under Eddie Groves, that group. He came up. I think he came for a bit of a small EG a payday, and I think he was the backup. Come off the bench, It was crazy. It was crazy to see him playing in a Bullets uniform, yeah. You know, sort of thing. But he was just a
backup, right?
Oh, he was a giant though in like for the Boomers. You know, I mean, he'd play under like Luke Longley missed. I don't think he played at the 96 Olympics and all the world champs, and he'd just be this sort of stoic big guy just battling these huge Europeans, and he was unreal. He was so fun to watch, sort of thing. So
he was indeed. Well, mate, that brings us to the end. It wasn't quite a whitewash. The boys got two.
Really proud of the Ray Gordon one.
Two to five.
Actually, the two younger guys got an answer in.
Oh, the Peacock one. I'm actually that actually wasn't that difficult when I thought about it. Like when they had all these guys are all the same. These wings, Legasic. You had Harvey, Peter Hill. Do you know what I mean? Like it was. Yeah. Anyway, these are good. Yeah, it's a hard life for me at the moment with all these useless NBL trivia in my head.
That's all right. We've got you on five, Elliot on one, Ant on one, yeah. And Jared.
Team on two.
He doesn't look to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't know what's going on.
Jared's a real team player.
he's making us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah. All right, mate. Thank you very much for joining us. Huge thank you.
No problems.
When playing for the Vikings, Anthony, did the ball ever lie?
No, it didn't, Mel.
All right. Huge thank you to Ash Proud, obviously, there from the Caps. Gentlemen, speaking of the Caps, we've got something a little bit different. We're going to do a 3-on-3 style draft. All right. Elliot, you've got your Wizards connections, which, you know, good for you. Ant, you've got your Capitals connections, obviously, being the captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, still holding it.
I don't know. It hasn't been anything said.
Captain until you're the captain more, right?
You just got to act like it and no one will argue with you.
Until stripped of it, you've still got it. Exactly. Awesome. Love it. All right, we're going to do a 3-on-3 style draft. Caps best three versus Wizards best three. Gentlemen, who wants first go? Who wants first pick?
In their primes, right?
Oh, in their primes, of course. We do primes.
Today.
We do prime times.
Maybe I'm not going to pick him then.
there's still place for a hymn sung today. Yeah. That's fine. Yep. Elliot, first cab off the rank. For the Wizards, who you got?
I'm going to take him early. I'm going to go CG for his two seasons I think he played there, a little bit of QBL. So I'm gonna take CG probably in my two, like my middleman. Yeah.
Middleman. Okay. Yeah. And who you got?
I think I'm just gonna take my teammates as much as I do appreciate like the Roger Smiths of the world. I'm gonna take Dusty Reichert. First cab off the rank. I'm thinking like 36s maybe like prime early Dusty. Bullets. Mm-hmm. Dusty, yeah.
Prime Dusty.
Yep. All these guys are in
the
their prime.
Man.
Yeah. Elliot, back to you for a Wizards number two.
I'm going to go with my guy that I grew up watching. I'm going to go with Macca at my one. Can't really get past him, can you?
No.
No, he's a good defender.
He is. We do like him here.
For my second pick, I think I'll take probably the only NBA player that'll be in the draft is Will Magne.
Brizzy Willie, yeah. Will Magne. Yeah. He's back on the court, which is great to see.
Yeah. We're going a big lineup.
Yeah, you got a pretty athletic, sizable matchup there, Elliot. You might need some size with your third pick at least.
Third pick. Well, I want to shout out Nick Kay quickly, but for some athleticism, I'm not going to go with him, unfortunately. I'm going to go more recent. I'm going to go Keanu Pinder for my three. Okay.
Pinder, most improved player.
Yeah, the double.
Yeah, and some people are talking. He's only got to dive for 1 year, right? Like a slight dip and then bounce back up. And surely he can go again. Three, yeah. Yeah.
Number three. I'm a bit surprised that he took Keanu over Nick Kay, seeing as though.
It's for 3-on-3.
Nick Kay's a pretty good shooter. Yeah. Mal coached him. You probably got some points from that.
You're overselling that aggressively.
Basically taught him everything in you.
Happened to be on the same junior basketball bus once.
Yeah.
I played closer to what actually happened there.
I played a tournament with him.
Hey.
Grew up playing against him. He was pretty good, and then he grew like a lot.
Yeah. Got ridiculous quick.
Yeah. And then last pick, MVP of the NBL won a number of times, I think. Basically wins almost every year that he's played in this league, Jason Kadee.
Mr. Kadee himself. All right, that top rounds out your 3-on-3s. Jared.
Who you got?
Who do you think would win? We'll obviously put it up on the socials and put it to the people but
I think just on that alone, give me the Caps. They get some more well-rounded bit of everything. People know their roles.
We're just shooting in the mid-range. Yep. Pick and roll and Dusty shooting middies.
All right. Yeah, look, you know, earlier I had to say it, but you left my boy Nick Kay off.
5-on-5 would have gone for him, but...
But I will not, you know, necessarily put my vote on here. I can be a little bit biased.
You're just going to put it straight on the... whoever he likes first. Caps, like three quarters of the tile.
Look, you know, maybe, but I think I lost all my impartiality at the under-18 state champs was in the commentary box, and I took a moment at the start to put my Caps jersey on.
We did hear about it on the broadcast. I don't think you were too biased during the game, though.
No. I can, you know, hide it well.
Consummate professional.
But, it's no obvious. It's no not unobvious. You know, we don't hide it and don't try and fake it. I do have some partialities. Not impartial when it comes to my Caps, but we'll put on the socials and we'll see what the people think. We'll see what the people think. All right, gentlemen, NBL. Let's talk about it. And look, Jared, it must have been an absolute shock today over the last little while when Adelaide came out and said they were interested in Brian Gorgian. It's like,
yeah, look, I'm going to tell you, saw the headline. The journalist was proudly sitting there going, yeah, got the inside scoop. I mean, first off, I'm not sure what team isn't going to be interested in Gorgian. Yeah.
With the highest winning titles?
Six titles, six coaches of the year. Mm-hmm.
More wins than anyone else.
Yeah, I think it's more of a case of just putting it into the ether and getting a bit of fan support.
I'm interested in winning $1 million. There's a slim chance that'll happen as well.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's a very likely thing. And also, I think just... having been through a couple of rough seasons, maybe a few rough seasons, it doesn't look like a long-term answer. And I think that's where you have to start to say, well, what does the club look like, you know, 5 years from now, not just next year?
Well, speaking of which, you know, you're a 36ers fan. For moving forward into, you know, into next season, what's one thing they need to keep? One, just one thing they desperately need to get rid of, either player from the from their gameplay, game day. Hit us. What do you got?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go the unconventional choices, but I think to keep, I mean, the fan support for the entire season. So that city of Adelaide loves the 36ers, and it's been on rampant display all season long.
Well, there's not a lot to do there. So yeah,
that, look, undoubtedly that has something to do with it. You know, they're talking about getting the colors right after the success of the throwback jersey, and trying to actually put something that reminds people of the better years. So that's sort of what I'm saying. Like, they've got,
doesn't hurt that they brought out those amazing jerseys and then won in them as well. Hey, yeah, that helps. That
in
helps.
In front of sellout crowds and whatnot in Adelaide, I think if you look at, you know, after getting a win here tonight, they've just, I think five of their seven or some
three are in the last five.
But the, it's back. Home heavy on the wins, and so I think that's kind of what the selling point has to be. Is that it is an awesome place to play basketball and be a professional basketball player in Australia from a fan support standpoint. In terms of get rid of, it's hard to sit there. And this isn't, I think, obviously when you have a second half turnaround, the, it's a credit to the professionalism of the players that are there. And Ninnis to step in that interim role and actually take a team that looked almost checked out at times to play competitive basketball and pick up a few wins. But where's that continuity?
And a Mitch McCarron rant doesn't go astray.
That was perfect.
Oh, wasn't it so good?
and so you, but it's just tough to see what you want to keep from that roster. Where's the building blocks? What does it look like? Where are we going? You know, Ulbricht to go to Illawarra and have, again, up and down because he's young, but I think overall a pretty positive season. It's frustrating that he's not in Adelaide. And so I think they've got to get rid of that in-house just organization reshuffle top to bottom and just start to get some continuity and everyone's on the same page. Because I think the last couple of years, it's been coach management disconnect, bringing in these parts and they don't seem to fit, or the coach doesn't know how to use the pieces or doesn't factor them in. So I just think the selling point, what you keep, is the Adelaide spirit, and we are good with everything else. Let it go. And try and rebuild.
Let it go. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Frozen lately.
How do you just keep a spirit?
Well, look, I'm just saying that's got to be the foundational block for how you want to build out your team. Because if you say, well, how are you getting people to come to your club? What's there? You know, some of their signings, the long, like Kadee got the 2-year deal and they just couldn't find and understand that there's performance involved, but it didn't look like they had a plan from the outset. I mean, this is a team that came into the season with an 18-year-old as a point guard who had never played point guard.
Yeah, look, and especially in like a league where our league is kind of dominated by really good scoring passing point guards.
Yeah, it was doomed from the start. And so I don't, again, if you're an Adelaide fan, what kind of players do you want to grab hold of? You know, I think there's some good local players there, but what is going to be the driving force of change, the catalyst of change from a roster standpoint, I don't know. And that's why I think it comes to management to say, what does this team look like 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now?
Yeah, and I feel like even with how they've gone this year, there's just been some really odd ways that they've structured like lineups and who they're concentrating on, especially like, this team is it's not underperforming what they kind of signed because it's a bit of a kerfuffle. But they're like Sunday Dech had completely fallen out of the rotation. Mm-hmm. He's a top like 10 defender in the league. Like his offense has somewhere to go. Like, but he has a decent offensive game and he's a top 10 defender and he wasn't getting minutes for the majority of the start of the season. Like, and since Ninnis has taken over, he's getting a bit more opportunity. I think they're just kind of playing people that really are putting in the effort and getting after it, and it makes a hell of a difference. It's kind of like what they did in Cairns. Like, they just sign people that really give a shit and they got to try, you know?
Yeah, it's it's a crucial starting piece.
And yeah. I think it's interesting because Ninnis has had that success, but they're still happy to have these, you know, gorge rumors come out where it's just like...
Yeah, just while he's on like a three, like three out of the last five is especially in the NBL this year where the where it's so even across the board. That's a good little stretch there.
Yeah, it's it's a tricky little thing. It's basically, it's kind of throwing him under the bus for all his good work, excuse me, and bringing them back to an extent. But you've got an all-time, you know, all-time sort of coach opportunity. But it's really eventually, would he even perhaps go to Adelaide at this point of his career?
But, yeah, and what is, but what is, what does Adelaide get out of? Like someone talking to not even the 1 year of Gorge, because it could be a few years, you know what I mean? But what does Adelaide get out of in the middle of the season just being like saying to a reporter, oh, we have interest in Brian Gorgon? Like, no shit. Like, tell him that. You don't have to tell the reporter.
Yeah, yeah, I hope that's not how he found out.
Yeah.
And that's that stability. That's the just throw that away. Like, there's just no. When you've got that going on, it's it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But
the more interesting one I would think would be like your Matty Nielsen type or something like that, if they can poach him away.
Look at Ant getting me excited over here.
Poach him away from poach him away from the NBA. But like I know what Perth tried before they got really, but yeah. So I don't know. That I would love to see him in back on Australian soil, even if it is for the lowly Adelaide 36ers.
Yeah, fair cop. all right. Well, speaking of teams that are, well, almost the opposite of Adelaide right now, the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, they've recently extended the contract of Scott Roth. They've locked in their coach for an extra season. Even though he was already locked in for next year, they've signed him on for another year. Got to be a smart decision that
there's not much to say on it. I think he's a good coach. He's like, it's incredible how successful that they have been since their inception, and they seem to keep on rolling through. They really embrace his personality into the team, like a hardworking, very disciplined team.
They have dipped coming into the last few games though. They're definitely. And the major sort of real sort of issue is this isn't what they normally do this time of year. They've been really good over the last couple of years of galvanizing themselves by this point. Their players have balled out and they've really, you know, made that rush to the finals. Whereas this year, their timing's not quite right. Their Milton Doyle and Jordan Crawford just aren't hitting those high notes consistently as we come into the last.
Yeah, it's one of those. Normally, that because they're so gritty and grindy by this point in the season, some teams are banged up, and that's the opposite of the team that you want to play against when you're either tired or a bit banged up. Like they are going to make life difficult for you. But yeah, they've kind of struggled on offense in certain spots, and I'm not sure what the solution there is. I know like Magne's been playing really well in his limited minutes. Just I'm glad that he's not getting injured currently. Mm-hmm. Touch wood, everyone. But yeah, I don't know. They kind of get stuck, and yeah, even the game against the Bullets the other week was. I just don't know. That was the game without Sobey, right? Because you shouldn't lose to Brisbane without Sobey, because the Bullets just can't score without him there. I don't know.
Still got it done.
Sunday. Yeah, it's just a bit of a hard pressed, like it's no easy fix. They've just got to start making their shots and moving the ball. Milton Doyle's been real cold for this little stretch.
All right, Elliot, over to you. Got to put you in the hot seat, mate. Kings, they've won a game. Does that mean they're back?
I wouldn't think so. Their recent run, I think they probably just brought it back for that one game, but I don't see them continuing it with all the inconsistencies that they have throughout. I don't see them coming. In what spot are they at the moment on the ladder?
Well, if we take into account the last, was it just the last five rounds, they would be in what a third last, but still
tied for third.
Yeah, effectively tied for third before the 36ers game, which won't affect. Which won't affect them with the 36ers getting up. So still tied for third. So they're still effectively just benefiting from their great start to the season. But, yeah, it's a tricky little spot they're in because they need to find form fast and it's not looking good.
And I think like we were talking about before, the only two teams that are really kind of untouchable at the moment are, well, even Perth's probably not too far away, but Perth and United, and if there's all these teams that are so close to each other in the three and below, there's heaps of teams that could pass the Kings, and they'd probably still be in the finals, but see how their postseason
knocked
goes.
Knocked out early.
Yeah.
All right. Jared, over to you. Perth, can they make the grand final? Way too early.
Yeah, so I mean, I liked them coming into the year, obviously. I think everyone did, so that, you know, spoiler alert. But it's been up and down.
And it soured quickly for their fans, though, didn't it?
There was some hilarious stuff going on, and, you know, and maybe a lot of it was linked to Cotton just not shooting well, at least, not scoring well. You know, it's, I don't want to bet against it because if you look at the horses that they have in the stable there, it's just a very, 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 very talented team that you feel like when you watch them at their best, it's good enough to go toe-to-toe with Melbourne and potentially win. But I think the cool thing is this year, like the next couple of weeks are really going to define, and it's kind of cheesy, but they will define a lot of seasons in a variety of different ways. And so we could be sitting here and, you know, Tasmania might be on the other side looking out, or they'll have separated themselves from the pack, and Perth has that chance in the next couple of weeks to really solidify what this season can be for them, at least the regular season. But the reality is, for a lot of these, you know, for Perth, it's going to be what do you do come playoff time. So when you have someone like Cotton, it's hard to bet against, and Saar's been impressive in his patches defensively, and then frankly they just have a really loaded roster that you can get carried away. So I won't rule them out, but I don't know if I'd bet on them. So
okay, gamble responsibly, obviously. Yeah,
I wouldn't bet on them because I'm not allowed to.
Good answer.
Yeah, you don't look that young, mate.
No basketball gambling whatsoever for one player.
Yes, of course.
Not,
yes.
Not EuroLeague. Not
youth. Right? Youth under 12s. None of it.
No cheeky side bets. Nothing. No, not a thing. All right, let's push this button and then we'll come back and I'll get one thought from all of you about the Bullets' current run.
Boom, 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 where the Bullets, boom, 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 from Brisbane town. Boom, 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 where the Bullets, we're going to shoot you down.
All right, first cab off, let's start from down that end. Elliot, what do you got from their current run?
I was at the most recent game on, was it Sunday?
Sunday, yep.
And yeah, just watching them, and I felt like every time I looked up at the scoreboard, we had a little bit of a lead, or it would get a little bit, it would eventuate out. And it felt like we were in control, which I haven't seen a lot from the Bullets this season. So we weren't worried at any point. And there was heaps of energy. No Bannon and no Prather due to a flu or something like that they didn't want them on the bench for. So yeah, it was good to get a win without them, but it just felt like we were in control, and they played not amazingly for the whole game, but they didn't play poorly for parts, and we didn't have any bad games from individual players. So I thought it was just nice to watch, not having to bite my nails or throw a chair or I don't know. It was really good to watch.
Yeah, we didn't have to watch Bullets being the Bullets.
Pretty much.
In a negative sense.
Yeah.
In a negative sense. Yeah. All right. Ant, down to you.
the three-headed monster that is the center combination that we've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
He just Shula just plays kind of whoever's playing well. Like you saw the other week, Rocco came on the end of the first quarter and he had like 4 points and a block and a few rebounds and was playing really well. And then he probably played him too long. He probably played like 8 straight minutes in total, and like the fitness level compared with coming through juniors, like the intensity is just completely different.
Mm,
oh yeah. So he was gassed by the end, but it's really cool to see that like none of these dudes seem to be taking it like personally if they're not getting minutes here and there. Like Tyrell in that game, I think he played the first 5 minutes, wasn't in foul trouble, was playing pretty well. Then he didn't play until the second half and came back on and absolutely crushed it to start the second half. So, like, all three guys just ready to come on, ready to do their job. Like, as much as we were expecting Bainesy to be our savior and average like 20 and 10, like coming into the start of last year, and then even you kind of start to build it back up, like, oh, he's had a year. And like, that's just not his role in this team. He's there to set good screens, hit the occasional jumper, maybe make one of 17 hook shots that he takes, and then play good defense, you know, like that's where we're at. And they're doing their job to perfection.
Jared. Yeah, I'll be boring. But I think if you look back in the off season, sort of one of the highlights for the Bullets off season work was getting Shuler in, and, you know, he's sort of tabbed as one of those coaches that would make a change and change for the better. And if you look at the way they've gotten their wins and the way they've hung in there with players missing and whatnot, that's where you have to credit sort of the coaching staff in terms of the infrastructure there for guys to be able to come in, play, whether it's from game to game or whether it's guys out, you know, picking up a win without Sobey,
yeah,
is you wouldn't expect it. And as much as we can say one team played poorly, it's still a credit to be able to get you guys up to compete to win that game. And so I think that's been the most impressive part of the run for me, is just that sort of, you can see the building of a foundation that, as opposed to where Adelaide was mid-season, I mean, that's something you can get excited about as a fan. Like, we feel like we have a coach that's going to be around for a while and this, you know, understands how to get things to work. Because, as you said, like, Baines isn't that guy, but he's still contributing. I don't think that that's easy to navigate. So it's just a well-run, well-oiled machine.
Yeah, and I love the fact that we had Sobey popping off in that first half. Was it 22 points in the first half? And then the second half, he scored 2, but we're still able to get it done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not the Bullets of old. This is something new that we're witnessing, yeah, which is magnificent, because the Bullets of old were...
I mean, the Bullets of... tough. Of old were really good, but the, yeah, Bullets of medium have not been
recent
so great.
Past. Yeah. Recent past. Let's go with that. Yeah.
No, but even that game where Sobey only had 2 points in the second half, in years past, instead of taking, he only took like maybe 5 or 6 shots in that second half.
Yeah.
In years past, he would have taken 15 because, yep, he was feeling it in the first half and he would have gone 1 for 15.
Yep.
But like,
we've just all seen those games and just.
Yeah. And like, it's just one like aspect that, as much as sometimes you're like, why is Sobey taking that? And then you're like, no one else is going to take. But he's kind of developed into a bit more of a playmaker and not as a last resort, as more of like a team guy, as much as he can go one out at times.
All right, gentlemen, before we get into our regular local card shop of and crack. And we had a little bit of a warm-up earlier with Ash. 150th episode. Thought we'd do something a little bit special. We need to announce a couple of the mystery jerseys that we're doing for Jersey January. First one is just behind me. We're going to give away a Sammy Whitcomb Opals jersey, which is pretty baller. And, of course, she was named in the team along with a lot of others, with a couple of people who look, you know, people probably thought they were going to make the team, but didn't necessarily. But there's a couple of really good signings, like friends of the show in Sammy Whitcomb and,
yeah,
Steph Reed getting a run.
So. Big congrats to Steph Reed.
All right. Quick question before we move on. Jared, favorite basketball player of all time?
Good question. It's for Magic, it's T-Mac. All time, it's Dirk.
Really? So it's not Shaq?
No. No, it's T-Mac. Like, T-Mac was right in the era of just... And I was like, oh, I'm like almost 6'8". Like, basically same guy. No. But yeah, that's the kind of like nostalgic tipping point where you're just like, that is... I have like 3 T-Mac jerseys.
Just half close your eyes and then get like 20 extra inches of vertical. from your
look
prime.
Like I'm sleeping.
Was the Shaq thing emotional for you when you
I thought it was awesome. You know, like it was really, really cool. The way they did it was cool. Everything about it was exciting. And I think it's the right time to do it because we actually have a team that you can be excited about this year as well.
So. Okay. Well, our second jersey that we're going to give away, we've actually got 2 of these. So first one, I've got a Lakers Shaq jersey, Mitchell and Ness.
Is that a green?
It is a green. Oh. It's not your regular. Yeah. It's one of those Mitchell and Ness ones that they're doing a little bit weird and different. But since I was really hoping there was, you know, it was actually really cutting for you when Shaq originally left and went good. because if you and Elliot do win the local card shop at Woolloongabba Crack'em, I do have an extra Shaq jersey in your size.
Now I kind of feel bad if I beat him.
Hunted it.
So, Ant, you have the chance here to be an absolute villain.
Yeah.
He will embrace that role.
I probably will, yeah.
Yeah.
With no regard.
Hashtag my guy.
Trying to keep Mel's books in the black.
Yeah, you just got a stern book. Like, if you,
if you lose
ever
head.
Want to be on the show again. But winner will take that. Winner will take that one home if you win. Ant, you'll get a handshake.
Yeah, thanks.
That's how you know this show is set up for Ant to win.
If it makes you feel better, that jersey does not fit me. So it's not as if I wanted to keep it for myself. You know, even if I really hit this gym membership hard, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So it's there to be won. You think you're up for it?
Now I'm very motivated.
I've even brought along support. Elliot's here to help you out.
Do I go in early? So, do I not die wondering? Just go in early and with conviction? Or
look,
do I...
since you are going up against the Crack'em King, not the Crack'em Prince, not the Crack'em Court Jester, not, you know, anything silly, this is what I'll do. I will give you, so if you jump in, all right, and get it wrong, Elliot can still jump in.
Oh, okay. God.
I don't like my chances.
All right. So,
seems to always be like a new way to screw with Ant's chances
but
to win.
You still win.
You still rise above, Tiger. So, all right. Jared, for this special event, local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em, I'm going to get you to use the buzzer, Lakers.
Oh, that's
a bit unfair. There's a lot of mixed emotions going on right now.
Couldn't have just gone with Shaq.
Just remembering not closing out D Fish when the only thing he could do to send it to overtime was shoot a 3. Oh, we'll just keep backing up. It's fine.
All right. Ant, let's go with Milwaukee. Right.
Yeah.
Milwaukee. Not quite Bucks. There's an extra syllable.
Yeah.
And Elliot, let's go with Heat.
Cool.
Nice and simple. Shouldn't be too emotional for you, like Jared's. But can we just get a quick buzzer check? Elliot?
Heat.
Ant?
Milwaukee.
Jared?
Lakers.
Feel the disdain.
Brush my teeth.
Disdain, but no tears. That's progress. You know? It's therapy we offer you. All right. Let's get started. We've got a five pack here. Let's crack it open of 2022-2023 Optics from Panini. We've got a 5 pack. Let's crack it open and let's get to it. First card. Ooh. Interesting one. Somebody boasted a wide array of offensive skills throughout his bucket-filled tenure at the University of Texas. He graduated to the NBA and transformed his game.
Lakers, PJ Tucker.
Well done.
Oh, let's go.
Well done. All right.
No, I don't have any stories. Except that I did watch PJ Tucker play in college. That's all.
Okay.
Didn't he go to EuroLeague for a couple of years?
Yeah. And then so he
tried to quit multiple, rang his manager and just wanted out. Times
he just wanted to come back to the States.
Yep. Right? I want to stay the course. LaMarcus Aldridge, DJ Augustine, PJ Tucker were all on the same Texas team, but I could be, I could be wrong on at least a
was LA
one or more.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
maybe.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, but that's my memory. But you know, the further you go back, the older you get. It's like, oh yeah, I just start jigsaw puzzling together.
We said before the college things. Jared remembers the college things.
All right, that's one. I only need to get to three.
Yes.
So here we go. Next card. Jabari Smith Sr. was on the Kings when somebody scored 25 points.
And Lakers. LeBron James.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
This is all you had to do to get Jared to play.
I was sandbagging last round. Now it's going to be worse if I get swept out.
Because that was his first game, yes. and then the junior goes up to LeBron. He's like, "Oh, you played my dad in your first game." He's like, "Oh, I feel old."
Because yeah. he is still amazing.
Very old.
But he's getting on.
Yeah,
but still doing it at a high clip. All right, Ant.
I'm in trouble. Back's against the wall.
It's those three Sorry, cards Mal. We talked about. Wink, wink.
Milwaukee.
All right. Next one. After a season splitting his time in Boston and Houston, somebody returned to the Lakers for the 22-23 campaign.
Milwaukee. Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder, it Jeez, is one. Indeed. Okay. Before having,
I thought it was going to be Daniel Tice, and then you said back to the Lakers. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I was staring at it.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, all right. Ants on the board. Elliot, anytime you're ready, mate.
don't feel scared to jump in.
All right. Card number four. On November 23 of 2022, somebody drilled 6 triples and scored 21 points to help his Pelicans take down the Spurs.
Lakers.
Trey Murphy. Win. Elliot, you are still in.
Oh.
And of course, you and Elliot have access to the whole card. We'll see how we go. Just a few months later, he flipped sides in a trade that brought him to San Antonio.
Milwaukee, it's Josh Richardson.
Elliot, the clues.
Oh, Elliot!
Now
I'm
go
not putting any pressure on you.
I know who it is. Oh, God.
His new fans are certainly happy to have his scoring skills on their side. There. Number 4 at San Antonio.
Can we get a timer?
Bing, bump. Bum,
boop, just bum. Guess.
Let me know when I'm in.
I couldn't even tell you.
Am I back in?
Back up in
Milwaukee,
everybody.
Devontae Graham.
Devontae Graham, it is 2 apiece.
Well done.
2 apiece.
As soon as you, I was like, oh, no.
All right. Final card in this special edition of Local Card. Local Card Shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em. We are down to the 5th and final card. Unless, of course, we get crickets again. And we'll find I've got lots of cards here that we could use as a tiebreaker.
Slightly less important than Farmy's. Bloody Michael Jordan and Shaq rookie cards. Jesus Christ.
Slightly.
Start off with a college clue. That'll give you, let me get mine.
Yeah.
All right. Some benchmarks produce a watered down list of names that looks congested in the record books. Somebody, on the other hand, has spun up offensive totals that permit him an elite spot on the road to greatness. The floor leader entered 2022-2023 as one of two players. LeBron James was the other, with at least 20,000 career points and 10,000 assists.
Milwaukee, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, it is.
Oh, it
is.
Ruined Jared's day. Let's go.
I got to be honest, I wasn't going CP3.
No.
Now, have you said Wake Forest floor general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How close would like Westbrook and Harden be to those marks now? You'd think they'd
be. That's the bucket of players I was in.
Yeah. You'd think they'd be close.
You'd have to be thinking.
10,000 assists hard to get, so it'd probably be. Well, but you're right. I mean, those guys who've.
Well, as opposed to 20,000 points. I mean, we all have those in our NBA careers, right? Like, did you not?
Yeah, I did. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
Well, I was just like, is it boards? No.
All right. Tell you what. It's our 150th episode. I will give you one opportunity here, Jared. One with a multiple choice question. Multiple choice.
All the answers myself.
They are certainly not. They are certainly not. Okay. Here we go. Who led the NBA in technical fouls for the 2020-2021 season? I'm going to give you a list.
I got a favorite.
I'm sure you do. A, Draymond Green. B, Chris Paul. C, Trey Young. A, B, or C. Look, Draymond, Chris Paul, or Trey Young.
For 5-6 years, hour and a half from East Lansing, home of Michigan State University. Draymond, don't fail me now. Draymond Green, lock it in.
Draymond Green, lock it in. I can tell you right now, it was not Chris Paul. It was not Chris Paul. Okay, so that only leaves Trey Young or Draymond Green.
Are you going to do the...
By the way, those were the two I was tossing up.
Are you going to do like the three doors thing? Jared, do you want to change your answer? It's a 66% chance that if you change it for us.
Look, I'm happy to give you that opportunity if you
wish. Oh, I just lock it in. I'm not changing now.
You're not changing your answer. Let's do it. Can I get you to confirm that you're not changing
not
your
changing
answer?
Not changing answer.
Okay.
Not feeling good about it.
It was, in fact, C, the Hawks feisty player. He racked up 19 technicals. Jeez. Up from his 10 the previous year.
So was Draymond close or is it?
That was in the ballpark. It's Draymond. Come on.
it was worth it.
I told you to change. It's a 66%. You would have done statistics.
Yeah, come on.
Makes it more real if you feel the pain in the loss.
Oh, I think you're feeling the pain.
Gacked up a 2-0 lead and then also... buffed up the multi-choice.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. I don't think I would have gone with Trey either. So.
No, but that's...
but I won, so I wouldn't have been in that position.
What happens when you're the king?
Yeah.
Heavy as the head.
He did it the regular way. No big deal. No big deal. All right. That is going to wrap us up here for episode 150. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining.
No, great to be a part of the milestone.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
Bittersweet. All right.
One day you'll get to as many games as I've played.
I have a feeling this is going to be easier on my body.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, fair chip. All right. All right. That does wrap us up here. Huge thank you, of course, to Dr. Electrician, servicing all of Brisbane and North Adelaide areas, and, of course, local card shop of Woolen. Gabba for their support of our Crack'em segment as well. If you are listening on a podcast that allows those 5-star reviews, please do go and do that. Big thank you to all the listeners out there. It's been an amazing 150 episodes. Really appreciate your listening and likes and all that kind of stuff that's out there. But until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.